الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading from where we had left off. The author, he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى، ومن أسباب سعادة الأسر أن تكون العشرة فيها بالمعروف. Among the means of family happiness is that the relationship within the household is based upon kindness and good treatment. It's based upon kindness and good treatment. العشرة تكون بالمعروف. قال تعالى وعاشروهن بالمعروف. And Allah the Exalted, He says, the meaning of which is and live with them, meaning with your wives, in kindness and with good treatment. In kindness and with good treatment. ولا شك أن المعاشرة بالمعروف سبب من أسباب السعادة. والمعاشرة بالمعروف مطلوبة من الزوج ومطلوبة من الزوجة ومطلوبة من كل الأسرة. He mentioned, حفظه الله, that there is no doubt that good treatment and interaction is a key means of happiness in the family. This command applies to the husband and applies to the wife and applies to the entire family. And in the husband, he must treat his wife and the rest of his family with kindness and in a good manner. And likewise, the wife, she must treat her husband and the rest of her family with kindness and in a good manner, as well as the other family members in the household. They must treat each other and their mother and father and guardians with kindness and in a good manner. He says, يقول الله عز وجل وعاشروهن بالمعروف ويقول ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وهذا من أسباب سعادة الأسرة. Allah the Exalted, He says, and live with them, referring to your wives, in kindness, and in kindness and good treatment. Allah also says, and they, meaning the women, have rights similar to those of men over them, in kindness, and in kindness and in goodness, that which is acceptable and known from the noble manners and kind treatment. He says, Hafidhullah, and this is from the means of family happiness. And this is from the means a family happiness. يقول القرطبي رحمه الله في تفسير قول الله تعالى وعاشروهن بالمعروف أي على ما أمر الله به من حسن المعاشرة. والمراد بهذا الأمر في الأغلب الأزواج، وتدخل فيه الزوجات كما في الآية الأخرى، وذلك توفية حقها من المهر والنفقة، وألا يعبس في وجهها بغير ذنب، وأن يكون منطلقا في القول لا فظا ولا غليظا ولا مظهرا ميلا إلى غيرها. He says, Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he said in his tafsir the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and live with them in kindness, and live amongst your family, your wives, in kindness. He says that is as Allah has commanded regarding good treatment. As Allah has commanded regarding good treatment. So that which determines the good treatment is the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the sound mind and the customs that are in accordance with that which is legislated and pure, and that which is good and sound and upright and noble. So again, he says what is meant by the command is for the most part the husbands, though wives are included as in the other verse. What is meant by this command is for the most part the husbands. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. What is meant by this command, for the most part, is the husbands, though wives are included as in the other verse. It includes giving her her due rights of the mahar, the dowry that she deserves, and the financial support, and not frowning at her without cause. Not frowning at her, and being rude and harsh with her without cause, and without any sin or reason. Being gentle and pleasant in speech, and not being harsh or cruel, and not showing preference for another over her. The Shaykh, he says, حفظه الله, ألا يعبس في وجهها بغير ذنب. بعض الأزواج وبعض الآباء ضحبهم للناس في الخارج. إذا رأيته خارج الأسرة قلت ما شاء الله لا يكف عن الضحك. يضحك الناس الذين حوله. فإذا دخل البيت انقلب أسدا. لا يبتسم في وجه زوجة ولا يبتسم في وجه ولد. وهذا ليس من العشرة بالمعروف. He said that the statement of Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, that he should not frown at her without reason. He should not ball up his face and look at her in a mean manner and with disgust and the likes like this. The Shaykh, he says, some husbands and some fathers are full of smiles and laughter outside of the home. If you see him among the people, you might say, MashaAllah, he never stops smiling. MashaAllah, he never stops smiling. Meaning in the face of his brothers, in the face of his brothers or the people outside of the home. He makes everyone around him laugh, meaning making them feel comfortable and good to be around. But once he enters the house, he turns into a lion and he's ferocious, taking no prisoners. He does not smile at his wife nor at his children. This is not from the good treatment. This is not from the good treatment. So he says, وَأَنْ يَكُونَ مُنْطَلِقًا فِي الْقَوْلِ. And again, the Shaykh is now commenting, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ, on the statements of Al-Qurtubi رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ مُنْطَلِقًا فِي الْقَوْلِ. فَيُحَدِّثُ زَوْجَتَهُ يُحَدِّثُ الْأَبْنَاءِ. بعض الناس إذا كان خارج بيته لا يكف لسانه عن الحديث كما يقول العوام سلطان المجلس سلطان مجلس فإذا دخل البيت انبكم فلا يكاد يتكلم فلا يكاد يتكلم وإن تكلم كان فظا غليظا وهذا ليس من العشرة بالمعروف ويحقق للأسرة الشقاء ويحقق للأسرة الشقاء. And that he should be pleasant in his speech, and referring to the statement of Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, and the interpretation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, and that he should be pleasant in his speech. The Shaykh, he says, that is, that he should talk kindly to his wife and children. Some people, when outside the home, they won't stop talking. As they say, the master of every gathering. The master of every gathering. But once he enters his home, he falls silent. He barely speaks, and when he does, he is harsh and rude. This is not part of kind treatment, good and noble manners. It brings misery to the family. This brings misery to the family. قَالَ الْقُطُبِي فَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِحُسْنِ صُحْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ إِذَا أَقَدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ لِتَكُونَ أَدَمَةُ مَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَصُحْبَتُهُمْ عَلَى الْكَمَامِ فَإِنَّهُ أَهْدَأُ لِلنَّفْسِ وَأَهْدَأُ لِلْعَيْشِ. He says, Al-Qurtubi, he said, Allah commanded good companionship with women, that they would be accompanied in a good manner once the marriage contract is established, so that the relationship between them is enduring and lasting, and their companionship is complete. For that is more soothing for the soul and more pleasant for living. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما إني أحب أن أتزين للمرأة كما أحب أن تتزين لي المرأة. لأن الله تعالى يقول ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. يعني يتزين رجل لامرأته كما يليق به كما يحب أن تتزين له بما يليق بها. فإذا بنيت البيوت على العشرة الحسنة تحققت السعادة. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, indeed, I love to beautify, adorn myself for my wife, just as I love that she beautifies or adorns herself for me. Because Allah, the Most High, he says, and the women have rights similar to those of men over them in kindness. So this is a great understanding of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that just as he loves for his wife to adorn herself and to present herself in a good manner in front of him, he will do the same for her, based upon what he heard from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they have similar rights to those of men over them in kindness. So since he loves that from her for him, then he would do that for her, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, the man should adorn himself for his wife in a manner appropriate for him, in a manner appropriate for a Muslim man. And just as she loves for her to adorn herself in a way appropriate for her, any for a Muslim woman. So when homes are built upon good companionship, true happiness is realized. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي فخيركم معاشر الرجال خيركم لأهله. من الذي شاهد بهذا؟ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن كان خيرا لأهله كان سببا في سعادة أهله. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the best of you are those who are best to their families. The best of you are those who are best to their families. And I am the best of you to my family. And I'm the best of you to my family. So the Shaykh, he says, so the best of you, O men, is the one who was best to his family. And who testified to this? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he testified to this. So whoever is good to his family becomes a source of happiness for him, becomes a source of happiness for them. So this is a true scale here to determine noble and good conduct and sincere and strong faith that a person, he'll be able to deal with his family in the best manner because he sees them on a daily basis, whenever he's happy and whenever he's sad, whenever he's strong and whenever he's weak, whenever he's tired, whenever he's hungry, whenever he's disturbed or preoccupied. All of these affairs, yani, in life that he has to deal with and face, he will face these affairs along with his family. So the people outside of the home to deal with them for a moment in a kind manner, to be patient with their harms for a moment from the day in the life like this, or at the most maybe 6 or 7 hours for colleagues or companions and co-workers in the life like this, this is easy compared to those whom we live with. So the one who's able to check his manners and control his tongue and to be forbearing and patient and overlooking and kind and merciful and compassionate and the life like this with his family and his home, those he sees on a daily basis, in the morning and in the evening, this is an indication that his faith is strong and that his manners are purified and his conduct is upright and noble. But as for the one who's able to be kind and nice to the people outside of his home, and then whenever he comes into his house, he falls apart. He's a rudist and he's very rude and harsh, and he has a short temper and he cannot deal with anything in a good or noble manner, then this is not a good sign for him, and he's not from the best of the believers. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو رسول الله قائد الأمة يتلطف إلى زوجاته. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يضحك نساءه ويحدث نساءه حتى بعد العشاء. وكان يسابق عائشة رضي الله عنها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah. He's the messenger of Allah and he's the leader of the Ummah. Used to be gentle and affectionate with his wives. Used to be gentle and affectionate with his wives. He would joke with his wives and he would speak with them even after Isha. He would even race with Aisha radiallahu anha. He would even race, foot race with Aisha radiallahu anha. تقول رضي الله عنها سبقني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسبقته وذلك قبل أن أحمل اللحم. The Shaykh says, انظروا يا إخوة رسول الله من أعلى مكانة منه من أعلى مكانة منه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أي عمر بعد أن تجاوز 50 لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بنى بعائشة رضي الله عنها في المدينة فكان فوق 53 من عمره صلى الله عليه وسلم يسابق زوجته رضي الله عنها. Aisha رضي الله عنها, she said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he raced with me and I beat him. He raced with me on foot and I beat him. This was before I gained weight. Reflect, O brothers, the Shaykh says, reflect, ponder over this. Ponder and reflect over this, O brothers, who is greater in rank than the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم? Who has a more high and lofty status in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What's the answer? No one. And what age was he at whenever this occurred sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The Shaykh, he mentioned he was over 50 years old. He was over 50 years old because he married Aisha radiallahu anha in Medina. And this race happened after he was past the age of 53, yet he raced with his wife. Yet he raced with his wife. And he's above 50. He's past 50, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a foot race with a woman. On a foot race with a woman, taking off running. You want to race? Think you can beat me? Maybe. No? So he says, وَقَدْ جَاءَ تَفْسِيرُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّهُ كَانَ مَعَ أَصْحَابِهِ فِي سَفْرٍ وَمَعَهُ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا فَقَالَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ تَقَدَّمُوا فَتَقَدَّمَ قَوْمٌ فقال يا عائشة رضي الله عنها تعالي أسابقك تعالي أسابقك. سبحان الله, the Shaykh says, سبحان الله, ما أعظم هذه العشرة وما أعظم هذه السعادة. One narration explains this incident in more detail. He was traveling with his companions. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was on a journey with his companions. And Aisha, and the Muhajirun and the Ansar. The Muhajirun and the Ansar. He's traveling with his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aisha was with him. He said to his companions, go ahead of us. Go ahead of us. Many of the travels of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were military excursions and the likes like this. They're traveling with animals and they're traveling with weapons, so on and so forth. So on and so forth. He said to his companions, go ahead of us. Go ahead. You go ahead. So the people went ahead. And then he said, oh, Aisha, come, let's race. Huh? Come on, let's race. And everybody's gone now? Nobody's looking? Yeah, no. Let's race. Let's race. Subhanallah, the Shaykh says. What a beautiful example of companionship and a friendship and good living and nice treatment. What a perfect embodiment of marital happiness. Ma'ahu jam'un min ashabihi fi safar. فَيَقُولُ تَقَدَّمُوا The Shaykh says that he has along with him or is a number of his companions, a group of his companions on a journey. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, go ahead. You guys go forward a ways. Go forward, I will catch up with you. That's the meaning. مِنْ أَجْرِ مَاذَا Why did he say that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did he say? Why is he telling everyone to go ahead and go forward? He says, مِنْ أَجْرِ أَنْ يُسَابِقَ عَائِشَ So that he can race with Aisha. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَقُولُ يَا عَائِشَ تَعَالَيْ أُسَبِقِي So he would say, now whenever they have proceeded forward and they're alone, Aisha, come on, let's race. Aisha, come on, let's race. تَقُولُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا She says, may Allah be pleased with her. فَسَبَقْتُهُ وَذَلِكَ قَبْرَ أَنْ أَحْمِلَ أَلَحَ I raced him, meaning, I beat him. I raced him and I beat him, and that was before I gained weight. The Shaykh says, عِنْدَمَا كَانَتْ صَغِيرًا Whenever she was young. والمعلوم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل بعائشة وعمرها تسع سنين and it's well known that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he consummated the marriage with Aisha why? Whenever she was 9 years old that he consummated the marriage with Aisha whenever she was 9 years old and this was something very common in those days specifically that the women they would be married off at a young age As soon as they reach puberty and the life like this. This is something that is well known in the lives of those days. So he says, حَفِيظُهُ تقول عَائِشَ She says, ثُمَّ سَبَقْتُهُ بَعْدَمَا حَمَلْتُ اللَّحَمْ فَسَبَقَنِي فَضَحِكَ فَقَالَ هَذِهِ بِتِلْكَ عَائِشَ وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الرِّوَايَةِ أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْمَرَّةِ الثَّانِيَةِ كَانَ مَعَ أَصْحَابِهِ فِي مَسِيرٍ فقال لأصحابه تقدموا فقال لعائشة رضي الله عنها تعالي أسابقك فقالت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حملت اللحم يعني أصبحت ثقيلة لا 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 تستطيع المسابقة قال تعالي أسابقك So then later she said he raced me again after I gained some weight and he beat me and he laughed this is another time he raced again this time he won صلى الله عليه وسلم she said he beat me and then he laughed And he laughed at me for losing in this manner like this. Yeah, to be fun, to be kind, to be warm, and to be close, and to build the love and strengthen that relationship. He's laughing. He's laughing not at her. He's laughing with her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making her feel good. She's telling the story in this manner. And imagine how happy she is at this time. And recalling these memories with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told her, hadhihi bitilk. He said, this one is for that one. Yani, I got you back. Yani, I got you back. You got me last time, I got you this time. Paybacks. Right, that's what you say, huh, in America? Paybacks. Like this, alhamdulillah. Hadihi bitilk. Hadihi bitilk. This one is for that one, O Aisha. This one is for that one, O Aisha. Radiallahu anha. The Shaykh, he says, according to another narration, on the second occasion, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was again traveling with his companions and said to them, go ahead of us. And even a second time. And then he said to Aisha, radiallahu anha, come, let's race. Let us race. So she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I put on weight. Meaning she has become heavier than, and she was no longer able to race as she had before. But he still said, come on, let's race. Let's go. Let's race. فَسَبَقَهَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ فِي عُمْرِ السِّدِّينَ أو نَحْوِهَا وَلَمْ نَجِدْ تَحْدِيدَ لَكِنْ لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ عِنْدَمَا تَقَدَّمَ سِنُّهُ لأن عائشة رضي الله عنها تقول إنها حملت اللحم فسابقها فضحك وقال يا عائشة هذه بتلك فلم ينسى ذلك الأمر وأدخل السرور على عائشة رضي الله عنها هذه العشرة التي تسبب السعادة بين الزوجين لم يشغله هم عظيم يحمله وهو أمر الأمة عن هذه العشرة الحسنة فما أجمل أن يخصص الزوج لزوجته وابنائه يوما أو وقتا يلاعبهم فيه. So they raced and he beat her. And he laughed and said, O Aisha, this one is for that one. He did not forget that the first time, any before, whenever they raced, some years ago. And through this race, he brought joy to Aisha, radiallahu anha. This is the kind of companionship that builds lasting happiness between spouses. Despite bearing the enormous concerns of the Ummah, and the Prophet, he's the messenger of Allah. And their enemies trying to raid Medina and kill him and his companions and fight against the deen of Allah. Jihad is established in a place like this. Yet the Prophet ﷺ never let that prevent him from kindness and joyful companionship with his wife. He never let those concerns and those other obligations, great obligations that he had to handle and take care of and was responsible, ﷺ, he never let that prevent him from kindness and joyful companionship with his wife. How beautiful it is when a husband sets aside a day or some time to play with his wife and children and bring joy to their hearts. And he's spending the time with them. Spending the time with them, not in a book or not in studies or not in a class. Spending the time with them on a personal level. Spending time with them, having fun, joking, going out to eat, taking them for a picnic, taking them to a park in a place that's suitable. And a place that's suitable, in an area that's suitable for a Muslim and his family. And the likes like this is something that's very beneficial and very, very good. And especially for those who are studying together and learning together, because the knowledge can get heavy. The knowledge it can get heavy. And likewise, the daily activities, so on and so forth, of the normal life, sometimes it gets heavy. So it's good to go out away from the city or away from the house and the likes like this and spend some time together with the family. Spend some time together with the family for the sake of Allah and in the limits of Allah and that which is pleasing to Allah. And there's still time in those gatherings to remind them and to advise them and to cultivate them, but it will be lighthearted. And it'll be times of fun. And it'll be times of gentleness. It'll be times of kindness. And the likes like this is something that's very beneficial. How beautiful it is when a husband sets aside a day or some time to play his wife and children, and bring joy to their hearts. بعض مشايخنا الكبار في السن قد فرغ لأبنائه يوما في الأسبوع يخرج معهم يلاعبهم ويحملهم على ظهره وهو فوق السبعين يداعب أهله هكذا حدثنا أبناؤه من أين؟ من أين؟ He says, يَتَأَسَّى بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Sheikh, he mentions now some of our senior scholars, and he's some of the senior teachers of the Sheikh himself. Despite their old age, dedicated a day of the week solely for their children. They would go out with them, play with them, carry them on their backs, even while being over 70 years old. Even while being over 70 years old and lovingly joke with their families. Their children themselves narrated this to us. And this is something that their children, they remembered. That their father used to have time for them, used to care for them and play with them and laugh with them. And these are events and their life that they remember, that there were good lasting effects that they remember from the khair and the goodness of their father, alhamdulillah. So this is something that's beautiful for a Muslim man to establish with his children, with his family. Where did they learn this from? And where did they learn these noble manners from? The Shaykh, he says, they were emulating the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learned this from the biography and the life of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi وسلم. So he says, ومثل هذا يا إخوة ألا يذهب شقاء الأسرة إذا كانت تعلم أن هذا الرجل هذا الأب قد خصص لها يوما يدخل فيه السرور عليهم ستجد أن الأسرة تسعد بقية الأسبوع وتنتظر هذا اليوم وهذا من أعظم أسباب السعادة وإن كنا قد غفلنا عنه. He said, in such behavior, oh my brothers, does it not remove the misery from the household? Does it not any revive the hearts and lighten the situations and bring love and joy and strengthen the bonds of the family? When the family knows that this man, and their father, has dedicated a specific day just for them, a specific day just for them to bring them joy, the entire family feels happiness for the rest of the week, eagerly awaiting that day. This is truly one of the greatest causes of happiness, even though many of us have neglected it. Even if a person is not one specific day, but sometimes throughout the week, or at least in the month, or once or twice a month, if it's not weekly, that a man, he has time to spend with his children. They will leave the house and go out, or they will sit down with them in the likes like this, or he will take them out for food in a place, again, that is proper. And if you look around and you make effort, you can find suitable places, and not far in the neighborhood or even outside in the likes like this, that are suitable for a person to be with his family away from fitting and away from trials. And this is something that's very beneficial to do from time to time with the family. So he says, بعضنا يتعظم ويقول أنا شيخ أنا مدرس أنا شيخ أنا مدرس أنا إمام مسجد أنا كذا كيف ألاعب الأبناء كيف ألعب مع زوجتي وأسابقها كيف ألعب مع زوجتي وأسابقها. The Shaykh says, هذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل هذا وهذا من أعظم أسباب السعادة. Some of us feel too proud and say, I'm a sheikh, I'm a teacher, I'm an imam of a masjid, I'm such and such. How can I play with my children? How can I race with my wife? But this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself doing these very things. And this is one of the greatest means of happiness. So he mentioned Hafidhullah, وَلَيْسَ لِهَذَا يَا إِخْوَى سِنْ. بَعْضُ النَّاسِ إِذَا قُلْتَ لَهُ هَذَا قَالَ هَذَا لِلشَّبَابِ الْآنَ هذا للشباب الآن أنا جاءني المبيض بيض شعر اللحية سبحان الله. هذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سن متقدم لا يغفل عن هذا الأمر. فينبغي أيها الإخوة ألا نغفل هذا الأمر. And there is no age limit for this, oh brothers. Some people, when you advise them with this, they reply, this is for the youth. This is what the young people, they do. Now I have gray hair. My beard is white. The Shaykh, he says, subhanallah. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his later years. Yet he did not neglect this affair. And he over 50, another time over 60, still running and racing with his wife, making her happy, joking and being lighthearted with her. Being a true friend. They're friends. The husband and wife, they should be friends. Best friends. And again, it doesn't mean that they'll never dispute or they'll never not get along or that everything will always be 100% proper and good, but they'll be best friends. So best friends, they handle affairs. They overlook affairs. They're able to get past issues and problems and solve them together and keep on moving. Alhamdulillah, this is the way the family should be. Whenever they learn the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his deen, and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his way, and they're sincere and truthful in that, and they strive to implement that in their life together, they'll find happiness. So he says, الزوجُ وزوجتُ والأبناء بحاجةٍ إلى السعادة الأسرة ولو تقدم بهم العمر السعادة يحتاجها الإنسان بل أقول إن الإنسان إذا تقدم به العمر يحتاج إلى أسباب السعادة أكثر فهذا سببٌ عظيم. So it is necessary, our brothers, not to be heedless of this. A husband, a wife, the children, all of them are in need of family happiness, no matter how old they are. Rather, I say the older a person becomes, the more he needs reasons for happiness, and the more he's in need of different means for happiness. And this here is a great means. He says, "Wa ana Aisha radiyallahu anha annaha qalat wasifatan hada an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annaha qalat wasifatan hada an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hada an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi baytihi." كان يكون في مهنة أهله في ذا حضرة الصلاة خرج إليها الله أكبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh says, الله أكبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان في بيته يكون في مهنة أهله وهذا يدخل السرور على الزوجة عندما يقوم الزوج في أمرها في مهنتها يساعدها في بيتها هذا من أعظم أسباب سعادة الأسرة. Aisha radiallahu anha, she described the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home, saying he used to be in the service of his family. Then when the time for prayer came, he would go out. The Shaykh says, Allahu Akbar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when at home, he would serve his family. This brings immense joy to the wife when the husband assists her with her tasks, supports her in her home. And this is one of the greatest causes a family happiness. You can just do something small, just something little. Maybe it doesn't happen to be even on a daily basis, just from time to time throughout the week. You do the dishes for her. You take care of some of the chores that she normally takes care of. in the first place. You take advantage of a certain situation. Maybe she's sleeping, maybe she's relaxing, she's not in the room. Just wash up the dishes for her real fast and dry them and put them up. Clean up the kitchen, or throw your own trash away. Clean up your own plate for yourself and the likes like this, even though normally maybe she would do that. And just to be a service and to help and to show that you care and that you're not treating her like a slave and that she has to serve you and you're not going to do anything nor lift a hand or move a foot. And he just shows some cooperation from time to time. From time to time, especially if normally she's already taking care of you, she's already feeding you, she's already cleaning up and already doing these affairs. So if you have a time for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking the pleasure of Allah and hoping that Allah will put blessing in your marriage and in your relationship with your wife, you take care of some of these chores a little bit and the likes like this, and inshallah she will appreciate that, and it will be a means to strengthen the bond and find happiness between each other by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرِ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَ الْأَبْنَاءِ وَعَدْمُ التَّمْيِيزِ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمُعَامَلَةِ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْاِقْتِسَامِ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي اللَّعَبِ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْعَطِيَّةِ فَهَذَا يَجْمَعُ الْقُلُوبَ فَإِذَا رَأَى الْأَبْنَاءُ أَنَّ أَبَاهُمْ يَعْدِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ اجْتَمَعَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَاجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَبِيهِمْ يَضْحَكُ مَعَ هَذَا وَيَضْحَكُ مَعَ هَذَا وَيُحَدِّثُ هَذَا وَيُحَدِّثُ هذا يلعب هذا ويلعب هذا تجتمع القلوب. He said, among the causes of family happiness is justice among the children and avoiding favoritism and treatment. Justice in distributing things, justice in speaking to them, justice in playing with them, and justice in giving gifts. This unites the hearts. When children see that their father treats them equally, their hearts are brought together and they become united around their father. He laughs with this one and he laughs with that one. He speaks with this one and he speaks with that one. He plays with this one and he plays with that one. Love is strengthened in this manner and the hearts are joined. And the hearts are joined and together. The Shaykh, he says, أَمَّا إِذَا فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ أَبْنَائِهِ فَقَدْ فَرَّقَ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَلِذَلِكَ يَا إِخْوَةَ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ امْرَأَةَ بَشِيرِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ رضي الله عنهما قالت لزوجها انحل ابني غلاما وأشهد لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh says, المرأة كانت حريصة على أن يعطي ابنها وأن يشهد من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But if he shows favoritism, he divides their hearts and dissension sets in. Oh brothers, this is why the following hadith is so important. A woman, the wife of Bashir ibn Sa'd, رضي الله عنهما, said to her husband, give a gift to my son. Give a gift to my son and have the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witness this. She was eager, the Shaykh says, she was eager for her son to receive a gift. And she even wanted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to witness this. Qala An-Nu'man ibn Bashir. An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma is well known. We know An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, right? In al-halal abayin, in al-haram abayin, wa abayinuhuma. He's the one who narrated this narration. قال النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال إن ابنة فلان سألتني أن أنحل ابنها غلاما فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أله إخوة؟ قال نعم. قال فقل لكم أعطيت مثل ما أعطيته؟ قال لا. قال فليس يصلح هذا وإني لا أشهد إلا على الحق. So An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, and he's the son. Who is the man here? Bashir ibn Sa'd. Bashir ibn Sa'd is his wife. And An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, he's the one who's narrating the story about his father. He says, my father went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, the daughter of so-and-so, and he was referring to his wife, asked me to give a gift to her son, and she wants you to witness it. To give a gift, yani, and a slave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, do you have any other children? He said, yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, did you give all of them the same as you gave him? And he replied, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, then this is not correct, and I do not witness anything but justice. And I do not witness to anything but justice. So the Shaykh, he says, هذا الحديث حديث عظيم فبشير رضي الله عنه أعطى ابنه غلاما ولم يعطي بقية إخوانه ولم يكن هناك سبب للتخصيص فقال له صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس يصلح هذا وإني لا أشهد إلا على الحق وفي رواية قال لا تشهدني على جو وإن لبنيك عليك حقا أن تعدل بينهم. The Sheikh, he says, فَالْعَدْلُ بَيْنَ الْأَوْلَادِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرَ. This is a tremendous hadith. Bashir radiallahu anhu, he gave a servant to his son without giving his other sons anything like it, and he has a gift. And there was no valid reason for this preference. There was no valid reason for this preference. And he referring to that certain circumstances may arise where one child might deserve a particular type of treatment that the others do not deserve. For example, whenever one of them is young and another one is older, and one of them is trying to go to school and another one he's too young, or one of them is getting married and the other one is not. At this time, this one's in need of help in a manner this one is not. So it wouldn't say you have to give them equally. If you give this one money to get married, you have to give this one the same money right now. That's not the case. But rather, this one, he's in need now, so you give him that which he needs, and whenever that person is, the other one is in need likewise, then you give him the same, or you have the intention to give him the same. And so sometimes there are certain circumstances where maybe the situations require for one to have something the other doesn't. So have something the other doesn't. But what is intended here, being just between them, is in general. So sometimes there will be circumstances that are valid that would require that one of them is shown preference in some aspect, and the likes like this. But the origin and the fundamental principle is that one, he will deal with them justly. That one, he will deal with them justly, unless there's a valid reason. Unless there's a valid reason. This is what the Sheikh is referring to. He says, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is not right. This is not right. I only witness to what is just. And in another narration, he said, do not call me to witness injustice. Your children have a right upon you to be fair between them. So the Sheikh, he says, thus justice among one's children is among the greatest causes of family happiness. Because whenever there is animosity or jealousy or hatred in the house, then there will never be happiness. There will always be quarreling and there will always be fighting. And there will never be satisfaction. So therefore, the parents, they must realize this affair and not be a means to cause this dissension in the homes and cause this jealousy to rile up in the hearts of their children by showing preference and favoritism to one over the other. By showing preference and favoritism to one over the other. They're always talking about this one, this one, this one, this one. Where's this one, that one, that one, that one, that one? And they neglect the other ones. And many times those who do this, they don't realize it themselves. But they're lost in that which they love and their desires. And they're showing this preference in this manner. And it's not correct. Nor is it pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a means to bring misery to the family and not happiness. It's the means to bring misery to the family and not happiness. So this is from the means. The Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرِ حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بَيْنَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الزَّوْجُ يَدْخُلُ إِلَى بَيْتِ الزَّوْجِيَةِ وَيُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِمْرَأَتِهِ فِي مُعَامَلَاتِهَا وَفِي تَصَرُّفَاتِهَا إِذَا تَصَرَّفَتْ الزَّوْجَةُ وَأَخْطَأَتْ فَسَّرَهُ عَلَى حُسْنِ الظَّنِّ وَالْتَمَسَ لَهَا المخرج وحمله والمحمل الحسن وإذا بلغ الأمر أقصاه ولم يجد محملا حسنا قال زلة من عاقل فلم يحمل عليها. He said, among the causes of family happiness is having good thoughts, حسن الظن, between the spouses, having good thoughts between the spouses. The husband enters the marital home, in the home of marriage, with good assumptions about his wife, regarding her behavior, regarding her dealings and her decisions. If the wife makes a mistake in her actions, he interprets it with good thoughts, looks for a justified excuse, and gives her the benefit of the doubt. And if the matter becomes very difficult and there's no good interpretation, there's no excuse he can find for her that is apparent, he says it's just a slip from a wise person. And she's a noble person, she's a wise person. I love her for the sake of Allah, she made a mistake. And she made a mistake. And the person who will work to rectify that, he says that he does not hold it against her. And he does not hold it against her. So to have good thoughts about the wife, and for the wife to have good thoughts about the husband, especially whenever there's no circumstantial evidence or reason to ever have bad thoughts. Somebody who's always kind and just, and somebody who's always nice and courteous, so somebody who is spending and spending and spending and always giving their rights. To think bad about that person is a major crime. To think bad, to have bad thoughts about someone who always does good to you is not right. Not right. Somebody who's always nice to you. Somebody who's always taking care of you. Somebody who always gives you your rights. Somebody you never have to quarrel with or work, or you never have to struggle with. You never have to argue with to get what you want from them. To think bad about them is injustice. To think bad about them is injustice. So someone who is good, you don't think bad about them. But on the other hand, if somebody's bad, they have bad manners, they're hard to deal with, they're always problematic, they always have issues, they're never satisfied, they're never happy, then this person, you don't think good about him. But on the other hand, somebody who's always kind, somebody's taking care of business, somebody's doing their best to fulfill the rights and to make the family happy and the likes like this, to think bad about this person is injustice. And it's oppression, and it's not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not a means for happiness. It's not a means for happiness in the home. Some men, they go to extremes in these affairs, and they have delusions and whispers from the devil about their wife. And there's absolutely no reason for them to think anything bad about her, that she's talking with a man, or she's doing this, or she's doing that, so on and so forth, or she's being dishonest in her dealings, and the likes. He has absolutely no reason except that he, in his own mind, is affected by the whispers of the devil. It's affected by the whispers of it. Likewise, some of the women as well. They think bad about their husband. They have bad thoughts about their husband. And they don't think good about their husband. They expect good from their husband. Well, they have absolutely no reason to do that. There's absolutely no reason to do that. This is not proper. This is not good. This is not from the advice. Here, the Sheikh is saying that rather the husband and the wife, they should have good thoughts about each other. They should have good thoughts about each other. This is the origin. This is the origin. But someone who is known for a foul way, someone who was caught red-handed, violating major rights, or in actions that could be considered betrayal and the likes like this, you don't think good about that person. Only a fool would think good about that person. You understand that? Unless they repented, and some time has passed, and it's clear that their repentance is good, then alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But as for someone who was up on a bad way, and that's known from them, you don't think good about them. You don't think good about them. Somebody who has lied, somebody who was using deception, somebody who's using trickery, somebody who's dishonest, so on and so forth. Whatever the case may be, you don't think good about these people. You don't think good about these people. Unless they repent and time has passed and it's seen that their repentance is good, alhamdulillah. After that, it goes back to the origin. And the origin is to think good and have good thoughts about your family and the likes like this. So he's mentioning here a great point, and he's mentioning about the wife, but likewise, the wife should do the same. If the wife makes a mistake in her actions, we say likewise, if the husband makes a mistake in his actions, they will interpret that with good thoughts. And he's something that you didn't like, and if they did that, you think about that, you interpret it in a good manner. It could be understood in two ways. One is good and one is bad. You carry it in the good manner. You have good thoughts. This is what is intended. You think it could mean this or it could mean that. This one is good, this one is bad. Then you carry it upon the good way. And it's so long as that the relationship is still upon the origin and there's no circumstantial evidences indicating that the bad one is the actual one that is correct. It's correct. Because whenever there's evidences and there's circumstances leading to that affair, then you follow that. Then you follow that. We're talking about the origin. We're talking about the origin. So whenever one of them makes some mistakes or does something, you will interpret it in the best manner. You give them the benefit of the doubt. And you look for a justified excuse without going to extremes. And likewise, if it becomes very difficult, a person, he will just realize that the person made a mistake. The person that made a mistake. And if somebody makes a mistake, and then they realize they made a mistake, and then they apologize from that mistake, it's from the noble manners that one, he will accept that apology. It's from the noble manners that one, he will accept that apology. So a person, he should always try to avoid being in a situation where he has to apologize. It's better to be safe from that, where you never have to apologize because you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. But if you fall into that situation, then you should apologize. You should not be ashamed. And when they apologize, we should accept their apologies. Allah, he mentioned in his book, Qul al-'afw. And you show this kindness and you be forgiving and you show forgiveness and mercy and the likes like this. And if somebody apologizes, you say, barakallahu fik, jazakallahu khair, in this manner like this. And you let it go for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you let it go for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah, the things will blow over. There's tests and trials in life. And many times in the initial stages of the marriage, the husband and wife, maybe they bumping heads in certain situations, and maybe even sometimes they feel like it's never going to work or they can never get along. But if they're just patient and they're sincere and they call and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to direct them and guide them, and they learn the likes of these points and they try to implement them in their life for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla and their household and their family, and they take the beneficial means, inshallah, that's just a wave that's going to go away. These are challenges that they face, they're going to go away, and then things are going to smooth out, inshallah, they'll be fine. Best friends, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So this life is full of trials and tests, and from that is keeping the family safe and floating on the straight path, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and not drowning in the desires and whims and misguidance and trials and fitting of the worldly life. So he says, Hafidhullah, وَالزَّوْجَةُ تُحْسِنُ ظَنَّ بِزَوْجِهَا وَتَحْمِرُ أُمُورَهُ عَلَى أَحْسَنِ الْمَحَامِلِ وَيَعْفُو كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ عَنْ زَلَّةِ الْآخَرِ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَخْلَاقِ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. Likewise, the wife thinks well of her husband, interpreting his words and actions in the best possible light. Each of them overlooks the slip of the other, and this is among the greatest qualities of both righteous men and women, of both righteous men and women, to be pardoning, to be forgiving, and to realize. And he, maybe, for example, she says, does something, or he does something, but that's not normal. They come out of character, but it's not normal. So then, now you have a great excuse. And if this must be something wrong, there must be a problem. Maybe that there's something bothering, because he never acts like this, or she never acts like this. Or this is the first time they ever do. Normally, they're always kind. Normally, they're always smiling. Then one time, they're rude, or one time, they're harsh, or one time they're short. They must maybe he's tired. Maybe he had a tough day. Maybe he didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe there was a problem at work. Maybe it was stressful on the job. So on and so forth, like this. Whenever a person, he does something that's not praiseworthy or not pleasing, but it's something that's rare. So even more rightful in the likes of these circumstances, one should find an excuse for them. One should find an excuse for them. As for the one who his normal manners is like that's different. I mean, that's how he is. He's rude, or he's yelling, always raising his voice. That's one thing. But somebody who, from time to time, they slip up or come out of character, or they're sharp, or they're short, and the likes like this, or they're quiet, but it's not normal, then you find an excuse for them. You look into this affair. Maybe there is a problem. Maybe there is an issue. Maybe they're just tired, so on and so forth. Maybe they need some rest. You make excuses and the likes like this. And inshallah, this is the means for the problems to lighten and to go away. To lighten and to go away. And to go away. How many means have we taken so far? Seven, right? Who can count them? What's the first one? Al-Imanu wa al-Amalu al-Salih. The first one is sincere faith and righteous deeds. This is the foundation. The second, dhikrullahi azza wa jal, to remember Allah and mention Allah azza wa jal, any meaning in the home. In the home. And the third one? Qiwamatu rajul. Qiwamatu rajul ala ahlihi. That the man, he's a guardian and caretaker. He's the one who's in charge of the household. He is the one who is in charge of the household. The man is the one in charge and leading the household, and he has the ultimate authority over the family. And the family, they follow him. The family, they follow him. So the man in the house is like the imam in the salah. What happens if you precede the imam in salah? Is it good for your salah? It's not good for your salah, right? Likewise, whenever the people in the household, they precede the imam in the house, it's not good for their household. It's not good for their household. So this is from the means of happiness, that a man, he will be a leader and take responsibility and charge of his household. And the people will not challenge him with regards to that, especially not the wife. Number four, al-wuddu wal-mahabba. Naam, love and affection. Love and affection between the spouses and also in the home with the rest of the family members. The fifth one, al-mu'asharatu bi al-ma'ruf, to live in kindness and good company and in good treatment. In good treatment. The sixth one, al-'adlu bayna al-abna, to be just in dealing with the children. To be just in dealing with the children, not to show favoritism, not to show favoritism. And the seventh one, this is where we stopped, huh? We read seven of them so far. Husnu al-dhanni bayna az-zawjayn. Husnu al-dhanni bayna الزوجين, having good thoughts between the spouses, having good thoughts between the spouses. So I have counted them, and what I have found is that there are 9. So that means there are 2 more left, and I don't think we'll have time to read them tonight. I don't think we have time to read them tonight, but inshallah we can finish in our class tomorrow. Bidillahi ta'ala, we can finish in our class tomorrow. How long do we have until the end? 22 seconds, right on time. Huh? Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. If anyone has any comments or corrections or questions, we can take them while waiting for the iqamah. We want to share any benefits. Yes. No question. You good? Alhamdulillah. Who remembers the dua from yesterday? If you're stressed or depressed, some problem touches you, worry comes to your heart, what do you say? Allahu Rabbi la sharika lahu. Abdul Rahman. Allahu Rabbi la sharika lahu. MashaAllah. Now, that was one benefit that we had taken. You can remind us of some more benefits. It's not beneficial, huh? Khalas. Now. Yes. How can you be just and fair for all your children? You fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and you look into these affairs. You take yourself to account. And if you notice yourself talking and smiling with this one, then you make sure you talk and smile with that one. If you see this one, you kiss them on their forehead, then you, when you see the other one, you kiss them on their forehead. And the likes like this. So you be just with them. You be just with them. So you don't give all your attention, all your care, all your concern to one of them and neglect the other ones, and the likes like this. So this is what is intended, that they all feel happy, and they all feel your love and affection, and a warmth, connection, and bond with you, and bond with you. You don't always just focus on this one, and neglect the other ones, and neglect the other ones. But yani, there's certain circumstances, for example, the elder one. It's important to show care for the older one, meaning teaching them and cultivating them so that they'll be a helper for you to cultivate the smaller ones. So if you take care of the older one and you teach them good and they understand properly, then they're going to help you with the little brothers and sisters, and they'll be a role model. But that's not from showing favoritism, but that's from being wise and governing your house. So you the oldest one, you give them good attention to cultivate them in a good way, and they're going to be a helper and raising, and likewise a role model for their little brothers and sisters, so on and so forth. But in general, you will give your attention, you will give your love, you will give your affection, and you will buy gifts and the likes like this equally. So if you give one a gift, you'll give another a gift. If you give one a gift, you'll give another a gift. But if you have a child who's 2 and a child who's 16, maybe the child who's 16, his gift is going to be a little bit more expensive than the one who is 2. But they both get a child, but they're both going to get a gift that is suitable for them and that makes them happy. You understand? Maybe the one who's 2 or 3 or 4 is not even going to realize the difference between the value. But this one, he got a gift that he's looking for and he likes. Maybe it costs $20. This one got a gift, maybe it's $1,000, because he's old. He's old. He's on a different level. So that's that's from the means to look at it. Doesn't have to be $1 for him, $1 for him, and like that. Not necessarily like this. Yani, but the attention, the concern, the care, the affection, the love, the upbringing, and the likes like this. It has to be any person who can show favoritism, especially until it's noticed amongst the family members, especially when it's noticed amongst the family members. If one family member tells their mother or father, you show more love for that one, you show favoritism, that this is something that they notice. Especially, they're not just lying in the lights like this. This is something that they notice. Maybe you don't notice it. But if the children, they notice it, then that means there's a problem there. That needs to be adjusted. That needs to be adjusted. And the problem, it goes back to a person's desire in their hearts, and they must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. They must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. They should all feel equal. SubhanAllah. Even the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that the companions, one of them would feel as if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was his best friend from the way that he treated him. He would treat them in this manner, he would treat this one in a manner where that one, he thought that he was the most beloved person to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the other one would come and he would treat him in a manner that he thought the same thing that the other one thought. And he meant it because of his kindness and his dealings. He was so kind, so merciful, so giving attention and care and concern in a manner that whenever a person dealt with him, he felt like he's the most beloved of the people to him. And it because of his kindness and being genuine with the people. So if that's the case with individuals, how about with family members? How about with family members? How about with family members? Now, one last benefit somebody can share.
You have to take the time to enjoy your family and make sure they see the good side of you, as opposed to always just serious and do this, do that, fail all for a lot.
Ahsant. The benefit, you have to take time to be lighthearted with your family and to joke with them and play with them. Any in the limits of that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and show them a soft side and a warm heart and kindness and the light side, this instead of always being serious, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, so on and so forth, or businessman, on the go, afwan, I'm busy, gotta go, like this. And sometimes you show them that you love them by just simply giving them some time alone, taking them out to do what they like to do. And the likes like this, where do you want to go today? We'd like to go eat this. You want to go get that? We can go get it and go to this place. Another place, nobody is there. We can sit down and eat outside under the trees. So on and so forth. Now,
what's your advice to families who struggle heavily in the household because the life is more income-driven or has no degree?
Yeah, this one's going to take a long time, but it can be summarized in very, very short. I need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Be fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So money doesn't make a person. Money doesn't make a person. We've seen the true righteous woman. She's the one that she's with her husband, whether it's good times or bad times. So some women, they're with their husband, if there's good times, but in bad times, they can't be patient with him or deal with him. And so really what it is that's moving her is dunya. The dunya moves her. So therefore, it's a weakness in faith. If she's happy with her husband whenever he is financially stable, but she's not happy with him whenever he's going through tough times, then this is the dunya that's moving her. It's the dunya that's moving her. So a person who's moved by the dunya in this manner, it's very hard to deal with them. It's very hard to get past them. It's very hard to satisfy them. Unless you have the dunya that they want. Unless you have the dunya that they want. Even if you do that, they're still not going to be satisfied, especially when you take into account for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So they need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a man, he should not be in a situation where the woman is taking care of him. He should not be in a situation where the woman is taking care of him. Meaning he's the caretaker. He should be the one who's making the living. He's the one making the money. He's the one paying the bills. He's the one fulfilling the rights. That's her right upon him. That he should be taking care of that. But if there's ever a circumstance or a situation where he's not able to do that for some reason that's legitimate, not because he's lazy or a bum, but he has a legitimate reason that he's going through struggles and the likes like this, and then she has money, and then she should help him get on his feet in the likes like this. Alhamdulillah, that's good. But that should not be used as leverage over him to run him or to take charge of him, because ala kulli hal ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. That the men, there are guardians and caretakers of women, regardless who has money and who does not have money. So it goes back to fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being truthful with Allah in public and in private, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.